version of America tonight. Did you get all your shopping done? Braving the elements? It's gotten cooler in a lot of places across the states. And I know there's not just one big weather forecast for everybody, because certainly it's much colder in the upper Midwest, in Illinois or Minnesota, for example, versus if you're in the southern part of the United States. However, there's been a lot of rain, and a lot of rain in the forecast, sleet, and in some areas, snow. Snow can be a good thing if you like to ski, or if you can sit around the house and make cookies, let's say, and watch some football. Not a great thing if you have to get out there and combat a bunch of it and, of course, shovel it. That can be brutal. In fact, that's on some people's Christmas lists, the whole idea of the snow blower to make it easier. Oh, if they only had a snow blower when I was a kid. Oh, man, I don't care how much my family paid me to try to, you know, do the shoveling stuff. I hated doing that because at first it's good. And then when the shovel starts to turn and twist and you can't lift that snow up and you're trying to pile it up, and you know what I'm talking about. Even when you're a kid, when you're 10, 11, whatever, 12 years old, your back is just killing you after that, killing you. So if I lived in an area where they had a lot of snow, I would have to have some kind of a budget for snow removal. Of course, I know that our mothership in Minneapolis, all the strapping young men that work there have no trouble earning extra money on the side by doing things like shoveling snow. Matt, are you a big snow shoveler?
Depends on how much snow is on the ground, then it's snow blowing time.
Oh, so if you can blow the snow, if you can use the snow blower, you do that.
Yeah, but if there's only like an inch or two, then you use the shovel, because otherwise it's just not even worth it. But yeah, as soon as the snow starts piling up, you gotta bust out the snow blower and hope that there's not a strong wind.
Yeah, that's the problem. It's just like raking the leaves. As soon as you rake them up, along comes the wind, and if you haven't bagged them, you're in trouble. You know how that goes. Speaking of being in trouble, it's interesting how the polls are sometimes flipping the politicians. Pretty much on top is Gingrich all the way around. However, people aren't talking about this as much. In Iowa, Ron Paul is 1 point away from the front runner, Newt Gingrich. Yeah, he suddenly zipped up to second place in this new Iowa poll. And this is of likely Republican caucus goers, because that caucus is coming up. That's the first thing in January, then the New Hampshire primary. So just 1% behind former House Speaker Gingrich. And, you know, Paul is a guy who consistently in Iowa has been right there. Iowa's been a good place for Ron Paul. So you got 3 weeks, and only 3 weeks, they're heading to vote on this. So it's such a tiny margin, 22 to 21. That's the number, 22 for Gingrich, 21 for Ron Paul. And then there's the favorability rating thing, where Gingrich doesn't do quite as well. He's certainly with some of the people that were part of the poll, he was a little weaker than Ron Paul. Ron Paul got a higher favorability rating. We've really seen that rise, and that's a big deal. Paul is hitting Gingrich right on top of the head with an ad alleging serial hypocrisy, because remember, they would have worked together for changing his positions on a ton of issues, including health care and global warming. Also in Ron Paul's ad, he zeroes in on Gingrich for accepting millions, which he did, from Freddie Mac, and for calling a budget proposal from Republican Congressman Paul Ryan right-wing social engineering. So remember, Paul's armed with the facts because he played in the same sandbox, and of course he's been paying attention to it. And that's what's interesting, is nobody's pointed that out so much, where you see, you know, Paul, that he is attracting a lot of support, especially for, of course, his libertarian-type policy positions. But then there are other polls where Ron Paul just barely shows up. In mid-November, Bloomberg, though, did a poll, and they had him at 19% in Iowa in a four-way statistical tie with Gingrich, Romney, and at that time, Herman Cain. So, too early to tell. All of the contenders may be in this until late spring, unless clearly somebody pounces in all of the caucuses and primaries in the beginning. If clearly there is somebody who emerges after New Hampshire and South Carolina in the very beginning of this thing, then all bets are off. But it certainly is not, you know, it's not looking that way. By the way, in that Iowa poll, Romney, 16%. 16%. In New Hampshire, Romney's at 33%, Gingrich at 22%, and Ron Paul at 18%. All right, now you're up to date on the polls right here at the beginning of the show. By the time 2012 is over, we're going to be sick of talking about polls and what people think and prognosticating. But there's something exciting about looking into the crystal ball. Speaking of looking into the crystal ball, Donald Trump does not like to be told no. And I don't think he wanted to have any egg on his face with a debate where he had two people debating. One who's barely showing up in the polls, that would be Rick Santorum, and the other guy who's on top in a lot of places, Newt Gingrich. They were the only two who accepted the invitation to debate on December 27th, and it would have been a Newsmax-sponsored debate. I like Newsmax, actually, but ION was the television network that would have been pumping this out there. So everybody else said no, thank you. He bowed out of moderating, saying that he's not, and the reason he's saying is because he didn't say because of that. He said he's not going to give up the option of running for president as an independent. I'm not buying that so much. He did thank Newt Gingrich and Rick Santorum for jumping in, but I'm not buying his reason for doing that. Come on, give me a break. He didn't want to be embarrassed. He wasn't going to do any kind of a debate where there really wasn't a debate. That's what that was about. So good for everybody else who said they didn't want to do it. Ron Paul, he said, you know, what, like he doesn't have anything else to do. He wants to be part of this reality show. And remember afterwards, what was going to happen is Donald Trump, like an episode of The Apprentice, was going to be Mr. Moderator. Then he was going to turn around and say who he was endorsing. So that was pretty ridiculous. And who wanted to be involved in that dog and pony show? But having said that, all of the Republicans who were running wanted to be introduced to Donald Trump's friends, wanted Trump to back them because of all the money people he knows, because of all the connections Donald Trump has. And he knows that, and that's why he was dangling that whole moderating thing in front of everybody. All right, coming up on the flip side, no preliminary hearing for Jerry Sandusky to hear what his accusers have to say. Instead, he waives the right for the preliminary hearing, instead says, pleads not guilty, and decides to go to trial. We're going to talk about that next.
Discover a natural way to experience cleaner, healthier indoor air without expensive filters and high-priced machines. Discover what healthcare professionals have known for decades. Salt ionizes and purifies indoor air. That's why you need to visit SilverSkyImports.com. SilverSkyImports.com offers a wide assortment of Himalayan crystal salt lamps, handcrafted from salt crystals that are millions of years old, contain healthy ions that eliminate odor, reduce bacteria, and can even help allergy and asthma sufferers, which means you and your family will breathe better, sleep sounder, and have more energy. These salt lamps are available in stunning, natural colors and shapes to accent any home or office, are environmentally friendly, and best of all, they're affordable. And don't forget, SilverSkyImports.com also carries gourmet and bath salts. Order today at SilverSkyImports.com or call 800-494-1369. That's 800-494-1369. Breathe easier, feel better, live healthier at SilverSkyImports.com.
Hi, this is Peter Kronschommel from Midas Resources. As you know, federal government spending is at an all-time high, and inflation will be a direct result of the spending policy. European government and central bank spending policies have put the European Union on the brink of collapse. What are you doing right now to protect yourself financially? Are your assets working for you or against you? One thing is certain. Having physical possession of gold and silver will guarantee that no matter what happens to our economy or the dollar, your investment will never be worthless. And it'll protect you from that hidden tax, inflation. If you've been thinking about investing in physical possession of precious metals or having an IRA in precious metals, I can help. Call me today, Peter Kronschnabel, at 800-686-2237, extension 108. And I'll take the time to personally put together a portfolio designed to protect what you've worked so hard for. Call 800-686-2237, extension 108. You've worked hard your whole life, and I want to work hard for you. Call Peter at 800-686-2237, extension 108.
Have you ever heard of a pharmacist who discourages the use of most prescription drugs? Well, pharmacist Ben Fuchs is that person, and boy, is he fascinating. He's a nutritional pharmacist and skincare specialist who operates out of Boulder, Colorado. And to hear this man speak is nothing less than inspiring, because he's charismatic and makes a lot of sense. He asks, why take dangerous drugs when all your body needs to stay healthy is all natural with no side effects? Pharmacist Ben sees the human body as a healing and regenerating system, divinely designed to heal and renew itself on a moment-to-moment basis. But it needs nutrition and nutritional supplementation. Ben says you've got to be on a nutritional supplement program if you want to be healthy in 21st century America. And he wants to help people get off the toxic drug treadmill and get on a good nutritional supplement program. I support what pharmacist Ben is saying and doing to help America get healthier. And I urge you to watch and listen to Ben deliver his powerful message at your convenience. Just go to AmericaTonightTeam.com. That's AmericaTonightTeam.com. Big news today that we're going to be talking about here on America Tonight. Eight young men were going to face Jerry Sandusky, that Penn State coach who's being charged with over 50 counts of child sexual abuse and molestation in some form. And it was a preliminary hearing. Instead, they opt out of that. So a lot of people are talking about, boom, they wanted to go to trial. What does that mean? And bravo to the men that were there, that were waiting in the wings and were ready to do that after they had gone through the whole grand jury process. Joining us now here on America Tonight to add to this discussion, abuse counselor Shalane Mack. She's the author of a book called Convinced as well. She talks about her own story about being victimized by sexual abuse and going through that whole healing process. I'm sure much like what's probably happening to some of these men right now who have to relive those stories. They just did, and they almost had to do it again on the witness stand, but they will because it'll go to trial. And an interesting development, I think, in that case. Shalane, thanks so much for coming on the show. We appreciate it.
I am so happy to be here, Kate. I am so thankful to even have the opportunity to talk about healing of these who have been victimized.
Yeah. How tough is it, do you think, for, and as you know personally from personal experience and now also trying to help people, how tough could it have been for, first of all, for the men, the young men, to come forward to tell the stories, especially when you have a storied university like Penn State and a coach who was popular until all this started to unfold? How tough do you think was that for them to confront what happened to them in the past?
Exceedingly difficult. Remember that we're going to call them alleged victims until all things are proven. So I'm going to speak in general about victims in this way. It would be terribly difficult because especially if done the way those who have been victimized are claiming, it was about relationship. He befriended. He was a trusted person. And to have a trusted person of such, you know, public, really upstanding character to say anything against a person is just so, it takes enormous courage to speak out the truth. And even if it isn't someone of such public profile, it takes enormous courage for anyone who has been abused in this way to speak out.
Yeah. But confronting the person, is this a big step in healing? Is this a big step in helping the person become, I'll just say, whole again? Does that help?
Absolutely. One of the things I would love to just direct all of your fabulous listeners to is the website. It's transformedbygrace.org. And on there, I have put together what I call major therapeutic choices for healing. And I use the acronym TALLER, Katie, to just kind of walk people through. But that very first one is all about tell someone. So absolutely, it's one of the major therapeutic choices, one of the absolutely necessary steps you've got to tell someone that is trusted.
Yeah. How tough is it, you know, and you go through that process, and that's a big step, but the victims have to feel, and this is what I've heard from other people, that there's anger, they're bitter, they feel terrible shame, even though people will say to them over and over, counselors like yourself, it is not you, it's not your fault, because there's this blame thing. Right. I mean, how hard is it for someone, the trust factor, to try to get back to trust has to be tough.
Oh, it is, and therefore I can just bring in my own personal story that, and again, I just want the listeners to understand, because you know in your audience, Katie, that there are people who have been abused in this way.
Yeah.
There's so many people who have been abused in this way that, but with my own story, the whole self-image, those people that I work with just so utterly destroyed. The very first rape I experienced by my dad, I was only between 3 and 4 years old.
Oh.
And this sexual abuse went on my entire life. It was just a horrendous and ugly place. And yes, it is very difficult to break free. The ability to trust any kind of intimate or love relationship is just very, very warped in those, especially children who have been sexually abused, emotionally, physically abused. It's very warped. The blaming, if I was a better girl or a better boy, that, you know, it wouldn't happen. Or then it becomes the sense of I am just really worthless and nobody's going to want me.
Mm. What was the breakthrough moment for you after living through that for so long?
Mm-hmm. Well, actually, the very first breakthrough moment came, and thank you so much for even asking, and I'm going to direct people, please get the book Convinced. This isn't about just selling books. This is about offering stages of healing. It really, really is. That tells my own personal story. But my very earliest breakthrough moment, believe it or not, I was only 7 years old. My parents, they had 5 children in less than 5 years. And even in the happiest, most functional family, if you have 5 children in less than 5 years, you deserve a week off from your kids.
Yeah.
And they sent us to a camp. And honestly, they did not care what kind of camp it was. But it was at that camp. It was a faith-based camp. It was a Christian camp. And it was there that I understood that though I was feeling so horribly unloved, and by that time already beaten so many times, already sexually abused so many times, just even by the little age of 7, I still desperately wanted love. And it was at that camp that there really was a breakthrough moment that even though I was treated in unlovely, dishonorable ways, there really is a God that loved me. So that was a first breakthrough moment. Jump ahead 5 years. By age 12, you get to be very, very old when you grow up like this. Very old, very quickly. By 12, I was at the point of ready to commit suicide. And when I made that decision and just screaming out that night, I was taken back in memory all the way back to that 7-year-old time, reminding me, I am here. I do love you. And it was then within a number of months after that, that a family came into my life and just really intervened. And I never told them at that point about the abuse, but they knew something wasn't right. And this was way before the laws were on the book. I'm in my 50s. This is way before the books about reporting or anything was on the books. And they just loved on me. And it was really steps of healing. And quite honestly, the book Convinced actually comes from a portion of scripture, Katie, that says, for I am convinced, and it goes on and on through a whole list of things, but it ends up saying that nothing can separate me from the love of God. And that's where the title comes from, and my passion that I know that there is full healing. we who have been victimized, I want people who have been victimized to understand we do not, I don't even call myself a survivor. That's a lovely, and that's a beautiful term, right?
Right.
I consider myself more than a conqueror. Again, it's right within that scripture that I just, that I just shared. More than a conqueror. We're not meant to be the walking wounded. We're not meant to keep being in victimhood. And so that taller acronym that I talked to you, that I had mentioned earlier, that's on our website, really walks through some of the very crucial steps. And part of it is letting go of your victimhood. It's not saying that it wasn't awful. As a matter of fact, you have to say how awful it is.
Right.
But that we don't have to let the people who mistreated us continue to take power over us as they did when we were powerless children.
Yeah. Well said. Absolutely. Last one, you know, in watching what happened with Penn State, people are questioning, geez, and of course with these allegations, how widespread do you think abuse is where it's still being covered up?
Yeah, it is still being covered up. It's being covered up in the homes. It's being covered up in public places. One of the statistics that comes out of CDC is that one out of four girls before age 18 is at some point in some way sexually abused. One out of six boys. That those are outrageous statistics. Now, that is obviously not based on full reporting, but this is absolutely by legitimate and well-based statistics. And I will tell you, I've been counseling since 1980, and I would say, yes, I would sadly have to agree with those statistics. So it is uncovered. I mean, it is under the surface so much. And yet one of the silver linings, Katie, about all of this blow up in the public, I am hoping that it will give people who have kept this dark secret, that it will give them the courage to say, no more. I'm not going to live with this quietly destroying me in some way, quietly having a hold on my life or keeping me from healthy relationships. I'm going to get free of this. So if that's, I'm praying and hoping that's one silver lining that's coming out, that it is receiving so much media attention.
I agree. Talaine Mack, so forthright and definitely informative. Send everybody there. Go pick up Convinced. Go check out the website. And thanks so much for joining us.
Thomas Jefferson once said, when the people fear their government, there is tyranny. When the government fears the people, there is liberty. Our God-given right to life and liberty, and the right to determine what is best for our lives and our family's health, are in jeopardy. If we the people do not diligently assert these rights, they may be taken away and lost forever. Utopia Silver is known for fighting for health freedom, and we will not meekly allow ourselves to be led as lambs to the slaughter, sitting passively by. And accepting the chains of slavery that are being placed on America is not an option. Please stand with Utopia Silver in this fight. Utopia Silver carries some of the most effective colloidal silver products on the market and numerous other high-quality health supplements. Visit us today at utopiasilver.com. That's U-T-O-P-I-A, utopiasilver.com. Or call us today at 1-888-213-4338. 1-888-213-4338.
Are you tired of searching for great talk radio?
Something more important.
Search no more. We are the GCN Radio Network.
In the event of an emergency, do you really trust Obama and the federal government to provide for you and your family? Modern-day emergencies like floods, tornadoes, earthquakes, snowstorms, terrorist attacks, or anything else can strike anywhere, leaving your family vulnerable. That's why you can't afford to be without emergency food supplies. If you're like most people, you know that you need emergency food supplies, but you keep putting it off. So, to help you, Ready Reserve Foods is offering a free sample kit of emergency food so you can test our food for yourself. The food really is free. You simply pay for the shipping, and we'll send you the food for free. To get your free free sample kit of emergency food, simply call 800-453-2202 or visit ReadyReserveFoods.com. Again, that's 1-800-453-2202 or ReadyReserveFoods.com. Don't wait. Call now because the free sample kits are limited. So call 800-453-2202 or ReadyReserveFoods.com.
What happened, man? You used to be energetic, happy, and wow, did the ladies love you. Now, you fall asleep on the couch, irritable, and out of shape. Don't be that guy. Call now for a risk-free trial of Ageless Male, a natural supplement shown to raise testosterone by 50% and maintain healthy, normal levels. No injections, no appointments. With healthy testosterone levels, you can feel that energy again, that great outlook again, and yes, even a healthy sex drive. Right now, you can try Ageless Male risk-free. There's nothing to lose, guys. If you're a man who's noticed changes in your body, your mood, your sex life, call now for a risk-free trial of Ageless Male. Be the guy you used to be. Just call 1-888-246-0623. Don't wait another day. Just call 1-888-246-0623. Again, 1-888-246-0623.
You can't argue with success. And many people have found great success in fighting back colds and flu viruses with Ali-C, the world's best garlic extract. So now, it's time to get even more success with the other great quality natural products from Affinity Health Products. Like C-Energy Liquid Vitamins, Lose and Snooze, and the One Day Diet. Or Human Growth Hormone Support, Menopause Specialist for Women, and Joint Specialist. See these and many other quality Affinity Health products for men and women online at AffinityHealthProducts.com. That's A-F-F-I-N-I-T-Y HealthProducts.com. Or call in your orders at 877-888-7126. That's 1-877-888-7126. Trust your health to the makers of Ali-C, the world's best garlic extract. Affinity Health Products, the finest and most innovative natural health products available.
Found yourself in an emergency room because you fell off a ladder trying to string Christmas lights. Or maybe you're like me, you're a weekend warrior, and for some reason, just like happened to me a couple of weeks ago, I thought I was Maria Sharapova. Somehow I had transformed my body myself on the tennis court, and unfortunately I took a bad tumble and hit my head. These things happen every weekend, but during the holidays there's some extra added deals with, I think, with the lights, as I mentioned, and other accidents that people tend to have during the holidays, maybe rushing around or whatever it might be. I can't wait to introduce you to this next guy. Imagine working in an emergency room. Imagine being an emergency room doctor at some point in your career. The stories abound, so much so he had to put him in a book. It's called ER Confessional, and you can pick that up on Amazon.com. Dr. Kyle Smith joins us now. Hey, Kyle, how you doing?
I'm doing great, Kay. Thanks for having me.
Do you remember the first case that kind of where you had to kind of take a breath? I mean, you're a doctor, so you went through this, you went through medical school and all of that. But do you remember your first case in an ER when you were in an ER where you had to treat somebody that kind of freaked you out a little bit, like an arrow through a head or something like that?
Well, I think that part occurs when you're in medical school because, you know, you usually will do a month or two of a rotation through the emergency department as a medical student. And that's sort of your first exposure to sort of some of the bizarre things that you see. And almost anything rather takes you aback as a medical student. I think it wasn't really until, to tell you the truth, I was a practicing ER physician that I started seeing things that I just boggled my mind from that standpoint.
When you say boggled your mind, give us a story. And you have them in your book, and they're very funny. What's one that stands out in your mind?
Well, I think what stands out in my mind is some of the difficulties people can get themselves into. I remember one night, this was actually a Christmas Eve night. That was usually my shift. And I was at one of our satellite hospitals, which was in a fairly affluent area of town. And we got a call from the local emergency medical system that they were bringing in a man with a large laceration and an injury. But that was all they said. And they bring this guy in. He's laying flat on the ER gurney, just looking very disgusted. But he's lying on his stomach. And I thought that was kind of strange. So I went back to the treatment room where they placed him. And they had to put him on the gurney on his stomach. And what had happened is that he and his girlfriend were celebrating Christmas Eve in the hot tub and was drinking champagne. And this poor fellow gets up to get the second bottle of champagne and slips and falls on the champagne floor. Has a perfect 10-inch incision across the right cheek of his butt, filleted right down to the muscle. I couldn't have made a better slice with a knife. And the poor fellow just kept apologizing over and over and over the whole time. I sat there and sewed him up. I felt so terrible for him, but told him that I wouldn't mind joining them after my shift. But that was one that particularly stands out in my mind as just being, you know, just the ultimate in embarrassment. Of course, there's so many others that I could go through and, you know, the way I wrote the book was that you get together with friends and you people talk and you start to tell these stories and everybody wants to hear ER stories. They just sort of like draw you in to someone else's plight.
Yeah, no kidding. But, you and I at a party would be competing because everybody wants to hear sports stories or interview stories or, you know, what happened in the locker room when you talked to somebody. But you would take the heat off of me, so I kind of like that. You're right. And whenever there's a doctor in the room, people want to hear the stories of the gore. It's just like you just said, somebody coming in, you were shocked. You couldn't believe what they had done and then how they had gotten there in the first place. Is Christmas an unusually, because you were saying how you worked on Christmas Eve for so many years, is that an unusually high time for ERs to be crowded?
It really is. You know, when I first went into the emergency medicine business, I actually thought that, you know, well, if I do a Christmas Eve shift, I mean, that should be a light shift. But in fact, it's not. I don't know that there really is a down day in the emergency department anymore, really, to tell you the truth, with the overcrowding, people trying to get health care wherever they can. And typically, you know, primary care is sort of shuffled into the emergency department. And that's pretty much a 365 day a year job, really, to tell you the truth. And I don't necessarily think that things get any more crazy on Christmas Eve. They're pretty much crazy all the time.
Yeah, all the time. I like that. Have you seen a lot of people with accidents with lights? Because when I was a television reporter, I'd get stuck on that same shift that you got stuck on where it was Christmas Eve, and we always had some crazy story. I mean, hopefully it wasn't about somebody getting electrocuted, because sadly that did happen. But there were other stories about people getting tangled up in lights and getting hurt.
Oh, yeah. There are all sorts of ladder stories. You know, people falling, trying to put Christmas lights up and last minute decorations. And usually what happens is they get home and they have a few drinks and get on a ladder and they're not quite as sturdy as they usually are and will take a tumble off that. Most of the time, luckily, the ladders aren't all that high. I don't believe I ever saw anybody actually fall off the roof, although I know we have those cases come in. But I personally never saw one of those. But yeah, I mean, it's just that sort of thing around the holidays. People will imbibe and they'll get into situations that they probably wouldn't ordinarily get themselves into.
Yeah. Do you find that sometimes somebody comes in just like he was, how he kept apologizing, and you ask them, you have to ask them, well, how did this happen? Did you have to kind of coerce the person, like, come on, man, just tell us, because you need to know as a doctor to treat them, because that could affect the treatment, I guess, in some cases.
Absolutely. Well, it's really strange because, you know, you're taught almost from day one in medical school that everybody lies. And it really is true. And then in some circumstances in the emergency room, it's the situation where don't ask because you really probably don't want to know. And God, there's been so many stories that I could relate to you along those lines of typically what we would have in our emergency room is people, again, would use us for primary care primarily. And you would get the chart that had no complaint on it, which would mean that the person wouldn't tell the triage nurse exactly what their problem was. And usually it was some sort of venereal disease. They just didn't want to tell the nurse.
Oh.
So whenever you get one of these charts, of course, you know, you have to go back and you talk to them and you tell them, I usually had my ordinary spiel. Hello, I'm Dr. Smith. You know, what kind of emergencies brought you in here today? And you will usually get the down and dirty about why they come in. So you do have those situations. And after a while, it gets to be where when you're first an ER doctor, you want to know. You want to know how did you get yourself into this mess. And then after a few years, you know, it really doesn't make any difference because now it's your problem to take care of. So sometimes you're just better off not knowing.
Yeah. Who lies more, do you think, men or women?
I think that
men, come on, men.
Men, I think men do. Women tend to be more healthcare conscious, and it seems that the women will be brutally honest with you and tell you exactly what it is you may want to and what you may not want to know. But men will definitely lie more than women, especially when it comes to their health care, that's for sure.
No kidding. Hey, and your specialty now is you do kidney functions, that kind of stuff, diabetes. Are you seeing an explosion of diabetes? That's what other doctors have told me. That's scary.
Yeah, I'm a nephrologist, which is a kidney specialist. I was a nephrologist when I was an ER physician. It's just I opted to practice emergency medicine instead of nephrology for a period of time. The majority of what we deal with in nephrology is the chronic kidney disease and end-stage renal disease with people on dialysis due to high blood pressure and diabetes primarily.
Yeah. What are some – this is good. I mean, it's not good, but what are some of the signs of high blood pressure?
Well, that's the $50,000 question. Because hypertension can so oftentimes be just totally silent. And you may not know that you have it. And you might not ever know that you have it until somebody puts a blood pressure cuff on you and actually measures it. Some of the subtle signs, some people will say, is maybe a dull headache periodically. Some people will maybe collect a little bit of swelling in the lower extremities primarily. May be indicative of it, but all of those are very soft signs. So the bottom line is that high blood pressure just may be totally undetected. And in fact, the majority of our dialysis units that we deal with are filled with, especially young black men, who have just a man-eating type of high blood pressure, never know they have it. And it's not until the late stages of that when you see end organ damage to the kidneys that they actually present. So I think the key to knowing that you have high blood pressure is, A, just get checked. It's simple enough. You can go into any drugstore and sit, and usually at the pharmacy counter there's a blood pressure machine, or you can walk into any fire department, fire station, and ask to have your blood pressure taken. But I think you also should be aware of anybody in your family who has high blood pressure may be a clue that you might be at risk.
Yeah. Yeah, good advice to check that. It's so easy to do. Pick up the book, Funny, Funny Stories, ER Confessional. Dr. Kyle Smith, thanks so much for coming on America Tonight. Happy holidays.
Same to you, Kate. Thanks so much for having me again.
Did you know nuclear radiation is still spewing out of the melted down reactors in Fukushima, Japan, and making its way across the entire U.S. continent, contaminating the air, water, and food? Dangerously high levels of radiation are a reality here. As a result, radiation poisoning is a distinct possibility for anyone living in the U.S. unless you do something to protect yourself. How? With liquid zeolite from RestoreYourHealthNow.com. Without a doubt, liquid zeolite is by far the best product to remove radiation from your body. It safely removes toxins and heavy metals, boosts energy levels, and promotes a strong immune system. Liquid zeolite is so powerful it was used to clean up contamination in Chernobyl, yet so gentle you won't even know you're taking it. Liquid zeolite comes with a money-back guarantee, but is only available at RestoreYourHealthNow.com. Learn how to get free bottles of liquid zeolite by calling 800-880-9976. That's 800-880-9976. Or go to RestoreYourHealthNow.com. That's RestoreYourHealthNow.com.
Hi, I'm Mark Craighead, founder of Crossbreed Holsters. I designed our top-selling holster, the Super Tuck Deluxe, to solve the problems of being poked, pinched, and gouged while carrying concealed. The Super Tuck Deluxe is the most comfortable, most concealable holster on the market today. We offer a 2-week free trial and a lifetime warranty.
Visit us at crossbreedholsters.com. Don't forget, crossbreedholsters.com.
That's the sound of your door being kicked in by an intruder with a single kick. That's the sound of the same door now protected by the Door Sentinel at MySafeDoor.com. Go to MySafeDoor.com right now and watch the amazing video. At MySafeDoor.com, you'll learn how to turn your home into a fortress with the Door Sentinel. 16 kicks later, and the Door Sentinel is still holding strong. MySafeDoor.com. That's MySafeDoor.com.
Jason Lewis here. With the holidays just around the corner, be sure to consider the greatest gift you can give to your friends and family: peace of mind. That's why I choose WiseFoodStorage.com. WiseFoodStorage.com offers delicious ready-made meals like cheesy lasagna, savory stroganoff, and pasta Alfredo that are packaged for freshness in individual metal Mylar pouches and carry a 25-year shelf life. And they're ready to eat in minutes. Simply add hot water. Request a free entree sample today at WiseFoodStorage.com. And for a limited time, get free shipping and 10% off of your order. That's right, a free entree, free shipping, and 10% off any order. Just use promo code Lewis. Call 855-FOODWISE. That's 855-366-3947. Or visit WiseFoodStorage.com. That's Wise, W-I-S-E, FoodStorage.com. Gourmet emergency food at the best price and the greatest gift you can give to the ones you love this holiday season.
All right, as we head for the finish line here on America Tonight, you know, we've been talking about politics, obviously, a ton. All of us are sick of the same old thing. We can package it up any way we want. We can throw out any adjectives, and we can spin wild tales and analogies of what we think should happen. The bottom line is, rapidly, we are coming to a close of 2011. Heading into 2012, is there really, truly excitement for somebody to beat Obama, or is it just because, listen, this time around you have an incumbent president, you don't have the Democrats at each other's throats because there is no Hillary Clinton versus Barack Obama versus all the other Democrats who are vying for the office, and instead you have one show, and the show is the Republican show right now, because you can't deny the ratings. When you have a Saturday debate, come on, and you have over 7 million people watching, they're pretty big numbers, 7 million. and all of the debates have been highly watched. There's so many more in store for this upcoming year. Because anybody running a network, even if it's called ION, they're scrambling to get a debate together. Because why do they want to have a debate? So that people will tune into their network, of course. And they can have their moderators, right? That's the whole idea. Well, Obama is being asked right and left about the Republican candidates. In fact, he did a sit-down, another sit-down interview with Steve Croft, who I think he really likes because he does a lot of interviews with Steve Croft from 60 Minutes. And in the interview, of course, he asked him about the Republicans and the Republicans running and all that sort of stuff. And Obama kind of tried to dance around it. He didn't really, you know, he's the guy, he's the incumbent, he's the president. He didn't really go deep into what his thoughts were about this, specifically about the candidates. But I think that the Democrats are being cautious because they don't want people to think it is, by any stretch of the imagination, a layup for them, if you will. In fact, here's what the president had to say just recently.
But we're going to have to fight for it. It's not a slam dunk. We're going to have to deliver this message effectively all across the country.
Yeah, and what is the message? It's not hope and change this time around, certainly. It's all about the economy. It's all about the extending the payroll tax. If you go to the White House blog, yeah, they have a blog. If you go and check out the things that are listed on, you know, that website, one of the things is a countdown as to when the payroll tax cuts are done. When it's, you're not getting them anymore. Poof. How many hours, how many minutes, how many seconds? It's a countdown clock on it. Pointedly, really, let's face it, blaming this on the Republicans. So the issue is the economy, without a doubt. The report card on this guy, if you look at the president, the report card, you can talk about foreign affairs, you can talk about, in those foreign affairs, you can talk about wars, you could talk about the deficit, the economy, a couple of other things, immigration, hard-hitting issues that were certainly dancing around the table, dying to be addressed, that were quickly shut away in a closet. However, you have to be honest about it. He certainly inherited a mess, without question. But the problem is, once you're the guy, you cannot use excuses anymore. I mean, if I run for president of the United States and we have unemployment that's sky high, or we're bailing out everybody and their brother and the money's been spent, listen, it's my job. I'm the leader of the free world. I'm the person occupying the White House. I can't keep pointing to the other team. I can't keep pointing to the people that were there before me. And luckily, at now, after 4 years, they've stopped doing that. But I wonder just how worried the Democrats are. I keep really trying to take their temperature on this. I know some key players for the Republicans and for the Democrats. And of course, when you're talking to anyone who has the power of a mic or a pen or anything like that, even off the record, they're going to be a little gun shy unless it's something that they want out there. They being somebody whose job it is to get the Republicans elected or get the Democrats elected. But I really think deep down, drilling into this, Democrats are a wee bit worried. Not so much about Newt Gingrich, though, about some of the other possible contenders. For some reason, Mitt Romney is a big one. And why? Because Mitt Romney raises a lot of money. Not that Newt Gingrich isn't capable of that, because look at all the money that he certainly made himself. Let's go to Rick in Illinois. Hey, Rick.
Hello, Kate.
Hello.
Yeah, Obama's doing everything to keep him bust out laughing.
You think that's what it is, that he's got his lips pursed and he's just trying not to say anything?
Had to bite his lip and hold tight and keep him bust out laughing. That's Republican clowns. But these Tea Party people or wackos, wherever they are, supposed to be for family values and against big, you know, career politicians and people taking money and all that. And they're Newt Gingrich, everything they're against. They're kissing up to him, so I think it sounds like they're a bunch of hypocrites to me.
Well, listen, I think what the biggest problem is, because you got to remember this, you know, you like Obama, and you definitely are voting for the Democrats. But the thing you have to remember, Rick, even you have to admit this. Listen, Obama is taking money from Wall Street. He's building a $1 billion war chest. He has super PACs. He's getting big money dumped into his campaign. He's just as bad as many of the other Republicans running. They're taking big checks. That's part of the problem of the logjam in Washington. No matter what flavor you like, no matter what team you like better, there's no denying that. That like the Wall Street $35,000 plate dinner that he had a couple of weeks ago, that was Goldman Sachs that put that on. This is the biggest problem. This is with everyone, not just Obama. I mean, this is the Democrats and the Republicans. There's a group called No Labels, and we've had some people on from No Labels, and what they suggest is that you've got to stop the whole PAC money thing. You just have to, because you absolutely are tied to certain interests.
I mean, how are you going?
How are you going to get elected?
All the congressmen take all the, that's how they get elected, take the money. So,
that's what I mean. Exactly. So somehow it has to change, though. Change might be slow, but there's got to be some kind of a shift. That's what it is. Because if we continue down that road, that's what it is. Listen, not for nothing, Rick, if you decided to run for Senate or Congress in your area and I decided to run, you're right. We would have to do the same thing, because how would we be electable without the money behind us? We wouldn't be.
Oh, man, I want to be like Newt Gingrich, have somebody pay me $1 million not to run.
And would you take that check? Absolutely. You don't want me to run?
Sure.
Great.
Bring a suitcase full of $100 bills. I take it. I won't run. Find that guy and put the word out. That's what I want.
Well, that's Michael Savage, the talk show host, who suggested that. And here's the thing. He knows Newt Gingrich would never take him up on that, because Newt Gingrich is dying to be president. Are you kidding?
Yeah.
He wanted this for a long time.
Yeah, but I don't think he's going to get people to vote for him. It comes down to it, because all of the religious groups writing letters to the people who are in Iowa right now telling them not to vote for him, because he's got no ethics, so that's what's going to kill him. Plus, he's taking money from the Freddie Mac, and supposed to be a consultant. Well, he's consulting them right into the ground. How's he going to be president? He can't give better advice than that.
Well,
that's what I said about him. You see that?
Yes.
What, the higher he's like a monkey, the higher he climbs, the more of his butt you see.
Yeah. Well, because he knew, but that was a pretty safe comment. But thanks, Rick. But again, I stand by the same thing. Listen, like I said, pick out any flavor you want, and it's all the same, because Obama, just like the Republicans, is taking that big money too, Rick. He's doing the same thing. And until we crack that code, we're stuck in the middle of this. We are.